Welcome to the Richard Eade Show. Talk radio for the city of Santa Fe and all of northern New Mexico. A blend of local, national, and worldwide news. Now, here's your host, Richard Eade, the voice of Santa Fe.
Seven minutes after 3 o'clock, Wednesday afternoon, 21st day of August. You look out the window, it's hard to imagine, it's actually 91 degrees out there. Squall is definitely moving in, wind has just picked up, and rain is moving in. Very welcome, rain is moving in. 91 degrees, though, still hot out there. Tomorrow, 20% chance of rain and 87 degrees. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sunny skies and hot. Going to be around 90, which is pretty toasty here in the mountains. 91 degrees right now, 7 minutes after 3 o'clock, want to be on the show, get in touch with me. Best thing to do is email me, richard@santafe.com. The whole show tomorrow from New Mexico School for the Arts, their new campus in the rail yard. All right, climate activist, author, troublemaker, river keeper, Maya K. Van Rossum is here. The book is called The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. Maya, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome to New Mexico.
Oh, I'm loving it here.
Yeah, are you?
I am. It's so beautiful. I've never been to New Mexico, but coming here and speaking with community groups and decision makers and seeing all the beautiful nature here in New Mexico, it's amazing, amazing.
All right. Where'd you come from?
Came from the Delaware River, which includes New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And I literally come from all four of those states.
Really?
Yep.
You must have a big house. You got a big ranch or something that encompasses four estates.
I got a big watershed that I work in okay. My role as the Delaware River Keeper.
Do you have a main residence?
I do. I live primarily in Pennsylvania, and I was very fortunate that because of a gift from my mother when she passed away, I also have a little place in New York.
A cabin.
A cabin.
Somewhere up in the mountains where you retreat to, right?
You got
See, I'm spying on you. All right. So first time in New Mexico. And you're here. Why? Who brought you here?
So
who invited you?
I got invited here by actually two gentlemen, one named Michael Neese and one named Craig Barth. They are great environmental activists here in the state of New Mexico. And they heard me speaking about the Green Amendment concept. And we've been talking by phone. And they said, you know, we really want you to come to New Mexico to see if we can make this happen here. And so we set up a trip and a bunch of meetings. I arrived last week and I leave next week.
So you're talking with all kinds of different groups.
Yep, all kinds of different groups, as well as legislators and decision makers.
Oh, good, good. All right.
And of course, meeting with Native American leaders as well, who are, of course, a very important part of the coalition we're hoping to build.
All right. So do you have a website for yourself in the book
so
for the Green Amendment in general?
Yeah. So for the Green Amendment concept, For the Generations, F-O-R, thegenerations.org.
Okay. The book is available where?
You can buy the book on the For the Generations website or on Amazon.
Okay. The Green Amendment, this is the Green New Deal light?
No, this is dramatically different from the Green New Deal. This is dramatically different, and as much as I appreciate the power and importance of the Green New Deal, I think this is a much more forceful path for environmental protection that we must take in states across the United States of America, and ultimately at the federal level, but we're going to begin at the states.
The purpose being to combat climate change, global warming, climate crisis, whatever you want to call it, or are there other things in the book, The Green Amendment, that have nothing to do with climate change, but just protecting your environment?
Yeah. So The Green Amendment is the title of the book, but it's really a concept. A Green Amendment is an amendment that gets added to the Bill of Rights section of the state constitution and recognizes and protects.
State constitution or United States constitution?
We're going to start with the states. Okay. So I want it in every state constitution across the nation.
Easier to do that way.
Easier to do. And we have to build state support in order to get a federal constitutional provision.
Okay.
So we're laying the groundwork at the same time for a federal constitution. And what this does is this recognizes and protects the right of all people to clean water, clean air, a stable climate, and a healthy environment, and protects those rights as firmly and as strongly under the law and under the Constitution as we protect all those other fundamental freedoms we hold dear, like the right to free speech and private property rights and even gun rights.
Right.
It's really powerful.
All right. I mean, basically what you're saying is kind of the case brought by the young people, young teenagers, and even preteens who brought the case against the federal government, saying that the Constitution guarantees us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You're killing the planet. Therefore, you're denying us our God-given or constitutionally given rights.
So similar but different. So in the Our Children's Trust cases that you're talking about, which are powerful and important, and I hope they're victorious, they really are focused on climate and climate change, and they are hoping that the judges read into life, liberty, and property the right to a stable climate. What a Green Amendment does, and whether or not they're victorious, we still need Green Amendments.
No, this is parallel to everything else that's going on.
Parallel, and if you're talking about the Green New Deal and rights of nature and some of those other concepts, I would submit to you that it's even more powerful and more strong. And we're not trying to convince anybody to read anything into anything. We are stating very firmly and clearly to our state government officials and ultimately our federal government officials that we have an inalienable right to clean water, clean air, a stable climate, and a healthy environment. And we are telling you through the Bill of Rights section of our constitutions that you may not take any action directly or through third parties to infringe on those rights. So it's very powerful, legally very, very powerful.
All right. So I would imagine you lay out examples in here, or you actually have documents or ways or templates that people can follow state by state by state. This would be legislators that would propose this in one of our sessions. By the way, we have a horrible form of government in New Mexico. We have a stupid 30-day session and then 60-day session. We are unpaid. We are basically amateurs at governing ourselves, though we're a very old state. One of these days, we're going to get hip and have professional government, but not anytime soon.
I am certainly.
I'm just warning you.
I'm learning a lot.
We are backwards.
I'm learning a lot about New Mexico government since I've been here, but I'm also learning a lot about the people of New Mexico and how passionate they are about protecting our environment and environmental rights. And what I do in the book really is, in the beginning, I lay out the case that our current system of environmental protection laws is failing us because we have people drinking poison water and breathing poison air and living next to contaminated lands and eating poisoned food, right? And just having their lives, every level of their lives, including the ability of children to even learn in school, being harmed by pollution and degradation. I then present the story of what we have done in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania by securing for the people of Pennsylvania this constitutional right to a healthy environment, and how that is helping us to transform environmental protection, including in the context of fracking in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And then I urge communities across the nation to try to be inspired to want to follow this path, and not to lay out a template for them, to urge them to reach out to me so we can work together, because this has to be done in a way, both the amendment language and the strategy used to advance it has to be unique to every state. So I want to be part of the team with the community to advance this. But I want people to know there are only two states in the whole United States of America that have a Green Amendment of this kind. Pennsylvania, largely because of the work of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network.
Adopted when?
It was adopted in 1971, but disempowered almost immediately by the Pennsylvania Supreme Courts, and only reinvigorated and given legal life in December 2013, when we used the Pennsylvania Green Amendment to challenge and defeat a very pro-fracking piece of legislation and transformed 42 years of legal precedent to now again give this Green Amendment legal strength, no longer having it be declared just a policy statement that legislators and regulators could ignore.
So because of that, is fracking now banned in Pennsylvania?
No, and unfortunately, it's because fracking came to Pennsylvania first. And so, and our Green Amendment got legal life second, which means we have to now go case by case by case, proving how the Green Amendment transforms when, where, if, right, fracking is allowed to happen. I mean, if you think about New Mexico, if you were to pass a Green Amendment today, you wouldn't instantly defeat all of the bad environmental stuff happening in the state. You would have to show how in one context after another, right, the Green Amendment would effectuate the decisions that are being made or what is allowed to being to happen, you would then set precedent. In one case, for example, if you said that a permit that was issued to some highly polluting industrial operation mm-hmm. should be declared unconstitutional, then the next time you have that highly polluting industrial operation try to advance somewhere else in the state, the regulators are going to say, you know what, we lost that case, so we're not going to do it next time around. So you have to make the case, set the precedent. But in Pennsylvania, we've only had a living green amendment for 5 years,
right.
but it is starting to have powerful impacts on environmental decision-making and protection in the state.
All right. You state a good case. Have you heard of the Permian Basin?
I certainly have.
So, we'll come
and
back.
And I've read, we'll and I back. Do want to say, the Sacred Land, Sacred Water, right, that incredible film
right.
about what has happened here in New Mexico and how communities can effectuate change, you know, just by rising up together. Very right. powerful, and I want them to rise up together.
All right, I want you to argue when we come back, Maya, because I'm going to argue from the side of the people living in the man camp, that if you ban fracking, you ban and you take away our right to make a good living.
Hey, mama,
and you take away the right for the state of New Mexico to fund education and hospitals and roads and everything else that relies on oil and gas in New Mexico. That's the dilemma we're in. 17 minutes after 3 o'clock, our guest is author and activist and Delaware riverkeeper Maya K. Von Rossum. Be right back. Talk 1260-1037 KTRC. We stream, we podcast at santafe.com.
Coming right back to the Richard Ead Show, the voice of Santa Fe, here on KTRC, Santa Fe's news talk leader. This is the Richard Ead Show, the voice of Santa Fe on KTRC, Santa Fe's news talk leader.
All right, our guest is a fan of the Bee Gees, and she now knows everything she needs to know in a 15-second lesson about Old Man Gloom and Zozobra, which is the Bee Gees this year and the 1970s, the decade, and Old Man Gloom will burn a week from this Friday up in Port Marcy Park. So, what do you think about our little tradition of Zozobra? Pretty weird, isn't it?
I love it. I love that way of getting rid of negative energy.
Exactly. Right. We just burn it up. I mean, it's like way predates the horribly commercial Burning Man and all that. We're the original here in San Diego. Old Man Gloom. He comes down to the mountains and he's just mad at everybody. But
well, these days he probably has a little bit of reason to be.
Yes, indeed he does. Now, so pretend I'm Ryan Flynn from New Mexico yep. Oil and Gas, and like, we can ban fracking. Fracking provides, I don't know, 60% of all the New Mexico's budget we needed for schools and hospitals and blah, 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 blah.
Well, so there are a couple of answers in the Green Amendment context and outside. So first off, I want to talk about how a Green Amendment could impact oil and gas drilling operations.
Wait, let me introduce you again. I didn't. Maya K. Von Rossum, author of the Green Amendment.
Yeah. So if you have a constitutional right to a healthy environment, yes, there are absolutely some places and some spaces that you are going to put totally off limits to oil and gas development, or where you may have an oil and gas operation or well pad that the industry is proposing and that government has to say no to, because placing it there will infringe on the constitutional right of the people.
Chaco Canyon.
Chaco Canyon, okay. Right? The Albuquerque Basin,
okay.
Other places. So yes, it's going to be a powerful powerful level of protection, number one. Number two, where you have oil and gas operations taking place and you have the water, the air, the land, communities, their quality of lives, right, their environments being devastated, the Green Amendment can be used to get necessary reforms, right, to try to reduce, minimize, better regulate, protect those communities.
Methane release?
We're going to go there in a second. We're going to go there in a second, right? But yes, but methane release, to the extent that it's being allowed to happen, the Green Amendment can and should be used to mandate government take action to say you may not have those releases. You must capture those releases. You cannot drill in a way, right, that is losing those methane okay. emissions to the atmosphere, because you are devastating present and future lives and environments.
Plus wasting revenue.
And that's number three. Okay. Number three, when it comes to a green amendment, right? The government becomes duty bound to protect the natural resources, which are to be held in trust for the benefit of present and future generations. There is the Oil and Gas Act here in the state of New Mexico, mm-hmm. which says you can't have waste, right? Methane is waste, especially when the industry is flaring it off. So what the green amendment says is that methane is actually part of the trust. It is part of the natural resources that the government is duty bound, right, to hold in trust for the benefit of present and future generations. To the extent that they've allowed the oil and gas industry to extract that gas, whether they're extracting it and using it or extracting it and flaring it off, right, the government is duty bound to make sure the industry is paying for that gas and that that money comes back into the trust, right, the government hands for the protection of the natural resources for the benefit of the people.
That's
and
great.
We have
That's
a
great.
Very on-point case
raise the,
in the Commonwealth
raise the rate
of
as well in terms of royalty?
All the way around. Because, again, the natural resources are the trust that belong to the people. And the government is duty-bound to protect them. And part of protecting them is making sure they're not wasted. And so if government is allowing the oil and gas industry to extract them, they have to make sure that the oil and gas industry is paying full and fair freight for every bit, right, of the damage and the extraction that's taking place. So it's used for protection, it's used for tremendously better regulation, and it can also be used to ensure that the oil and gas industry has to pay fully and fairly for what they're doing. But we must also remember, right, when you are putting on your oil and gas guy hat, mm-hmm. right, and talking this nonsense about how we have to have oil and gas extraction in order to create energy and in order to create jobs, mm-hmm. that's nonsense. Clean energy options are available today. Wind, solar, every $1 million invested in a clean energy strategy, it has been shown time and time again, creates 3 to 5 times the number of jobs, more accessible jobs, good paying jobs. And at the same time, we're not devastating people's lives. We're not devastating their health. We're not exacerbating climate change. We're not poisoning the water, the air. We are not very literally killing people physically, emotionally, and in terms of their many physical and mental capacities. So we do not have to drill and frack, right, in order to have healthy, sustainable energy and lives. I understand a transition has to take place,
right.
But there is a way to do a transition that helps all those communities and workers dependent on oil and gas to become better served by clean energy, both in terms of jobs and the economy.
You're very persuasive. You're very passionate about this, and you're very practiced at it. You're so good at it. Could you convince Republicans?
We actually can convince Republicans. We have green amendments advancing in 4 states right now, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and West Virginia. And some of our key sponsors, particularly in the state of New Jersey and in New York, are Republicans. Also, the Supreme Court decision that breathed legal life back into Pennsylvania's long-ignored Green Amendment, mm-hmm. that Supreme Court was one of the most conservative Supreme Courts in place across the country, with the Chief Justice who actually wrote the opinion that breathed legal life back into Pennsylvania's Green Amendment, mm-hmm. being one of the most conservative jurists in this nation.
Real quickly, what was his main legal argument for doing that?
That the Green Amendment is in the Bill of Rights section of the Constitution, therefore it must be treated like every other.
So he was a
right,
literalist. It's a there.
Literalist. It is there, and if something is in the Bill of Rights, it is a restraint on government action. It is the people saying these are inalienable rights that belong to us, and government, while through this Constitution we are giving you the right to govern over us, we do not give you the right to overreach and infringe upon these inalienable rights we hold dear, all of which are listed in the Bill of Rights section. And now, in Pennsylvania, it's the rights to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment.
Wow. The bad news is here, I'm just sure you're going to tell me here in a minute, this does not apply to coal. I hope it applies to coal. Can we take a break and come back?
We can
you
come
okay
back.
To hang? Bridget,
and it applies to coal.
You guys okay with the clock? All right. Bridget is here. I swear we're going to get Bridget to talk, but she says she'll run from the room screaming if I even try. Delaware River Keeper, Maya K. Von Rossum, the book is called The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. Makes sense to me. 30 minutes after 3.
Is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid.
We'll be coming right back to the Richard Eade Show, the voice of Santa Fe, here on KTRC, Santa Fe's news talk leader. This is the Richard Eade Show, the voice of Santa Fe on KTRC, Santa Fe's news talk leader.
So we're slowly learning here what the Green Amendment is, how important it is, and that our guest actually wears several different hats. One is the Green Amendment, kind of a separate hat, separate identity, is the Delaware River Keeper. Her name is Maya K. Von Rossum. She came out here from Pennsylvania, invited out, and having so far a good week here in New Mexico. The foreword by Mark Ruffalo is really nice, and you get to see, you know, kind of his deep, long-term involvement with the environmental movement as well. And I said during the break that Delaware Riverkeeper reminds me of Pete Seeger and the Hudson and all that. And you said that's where it all comes from.
That's right. The Hudson Riverkeeper was the first riverkeeper. The Delaware Riverkeeper, myself and my organization, the second riverkeeper. And now they're actually riverkeepers and waterkeepers across the nation. But it all started on the Hudson and in the Delaware River watersheds. And our jobs are to be the voice of the rivers that we represent. And so I literally, day in and day out, fight the good fight through advocacy and litigation for the Delaware River. And this Green Amendment movement grew out of that work. And now I have the new national movement.
Well, we need a Gila River keepers down in the southwestern part of the state.
Every river needs a river keeper.
Okay. All right. So, but what you're here working on is this Green Amendment thing.
Right. I'm wearing my Green Amendments for the Generations national organization hat.
Okay, I said there before the break that, you know, I was afraid you're going to say, you know, all this applies to oil and gas, but not to coal.
This agreement
applies to anything, right?
The Green Amendment applies to the right to clean water, clean air, a stable climate, and a healthy environment, and should take on anything that challenges those rights, whether it's the oil and gas industry, the fossil fuel industry, developers who want to develop it in the wrong ways, in the wrong places, pharmaceutical companies that might be discharging contaminants into our waterways.
Chemical companies,
okay. If they are spewing pollution in a way and have been approved to do so. Remember, a Green Amendment, a constitutional Bill of Rights amendment, is a restraint on government action. So to the extent the government permits these, you know, industrial operators or developers to inflict harm on our environment, we go against the government for that inappropriate action, and then the law gets declared unconstitutional. The permit has to be rescinded, right? We reform the government decision-making that allowed that bad thing to happen. Coal harms the earth. Coal harms our water, our air, our communities, our environment. So coal absolutely gets wrapped under the Green Amendment envelope. What that looks like will depend on what place, what space, and what issue you're talking about.
I've been arguing for a long time and actually got the regulated monopoly, the electric producer, to actually nod. They wouldn't say it out loud, but they actually nodded that what is going on in the Four Corners has a lot to do with racism. That they were able to burn coal and release nitrous oxide and all the other chemicals into the air because it was only harming red kids. Just red people. And so the environmental racism component of this is also a very, very, I guess, valuable thing to fight against, right? Or to fight with.
Green amendments are very, very powerful for environmental justice. As you said, our current system of environmental protection laws actually makes sure that we target our indigenous, our minority, and our immigrant communities for highly polluting industrial operations and harmful environmental activities. A Green Amendment, when that gets passed, it means that every single person has the same constitutional right to a healthy environment, regardless of the color of their skin, their income level, where they live, their physical or mental capacities. And every government official at every level of government has to protect those rights, has to protect the rights of those people equitably. And by the way, a properly written and framed Green Amendment does not mean that they just have to protect those rights equitably for present generations, but they have to protect them for future generations as well. And we write that into the Green Amendment. It is generational protection. It is environmental justice protection. It is protection for all of us and our inalienable rights to a healthy environment.
One of the issues being fought right now is the effort by an Australian mining company to come up and mine cobalt up in the Pecos north of here, which is a really beautiful area. And the people up there, they've seen it before. You know, there's a Superfund site up there. Mining companies come in and they extract and they you know take millions of dollars out of the environment. And then for the most part, they just vanish into thin air. And that's why they have these cutout LLC companies to do that. So I don't know, how quickly can something like this happen?
Well, it's going to depend on how quickly we get a Green Amendment proposed and passed. Here in the state of New Mexico, you need to have passage by each house of the legislature once, majority vote, and then it goes before the people. So you actually, here in New Mexico, could do it quite quickly, and actually more quickly than you can accomplish it in other states. It is a heavy lift. It is a high burden. But while it may be hard to get a Green Amendment into the Constitution, it also means once we get it there, it's hard to get it out.
So, but you can argue, you know, you can argue effectively in Santa Fe and Taos and, you know, the Pecos and Albuquerque to some extent. You go down, because this is a statewide effort, you go down to the southern part of the state where all the money is, where all the oil and gas money is, where Chevron is, where Shell is, where Exxon is. It's not going to sell down there. And even the legislators down there are going to go, no, you know, I get my wealth, I get my votes, I get my position and my power from the oil and gas, from the big money players in New Mexico.
So the fact of the matter is, when we start changing the way people talk about the environment, get them to recognize that they don't, while in their hearts they believe they have environmental rights, under the law they don't, and we start getting them to change the way they think about environmental rights, start to get them to demand environmental rights, what it also means is that every time somebody's running for elected office, incumbent or challenger, they're going to be asked about their position on the Green Amendment. And if they don't get the right answer, they don't get voted into office. That's number one. Number two, you're always going to have those people when it comes to the environment that you will not convince. Right. But the beauty of a Green Amendment is we don't need everybody, right? We just need the right percentages. Mm-hmm. And when we get the right level of votes, right, from the legislature, from the people, majority votes, then we get our Green Amendment, and those people get held accountable for the devastating harms and immoral impacts they are inflicting on our environment and on present and future generations.
Who are some of the big players that you're attracting the ire of? Who are some of the people that hate you? The Koch brothers, the biggest funders of climate deniers on the planet, Rio Grande Foundation, those kind of the Heartland Foundation, these kind of right-wing anti-environment.
Well, you know, the opposition is building. The one of the fun things about a Green Amendment, and we've seen this when they've gone into hearings in the legislature and other states, the opposition may be speaking behind the scenes, and sometimes they'll speak a little bit publicly, but they tend to be a bit reticent about going on the record saying, I don't believe that your child has a right to clean water or clean air, right? So they are rightfully, in many places and spaces, embarrassed to say it. And you know what? The truth is, too, their kids need clean water. They need clean air. And so you'll be amazed at how many people you can actually bring around onto your side. People you never thought would join you in support of a Green Amendment.
You mentioned West Virginia. That had to have been a heavy lift.
So West Virginia, we had legislators there that saw our Green Amendment for the Generations movement, were inspired by it, and they actually started the initiative and reached out. It was born out of the legislators seeing what was happening, seeing our victory in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So again, it's really powerful.
Okay. All right. So what do we need here in New Mexico? Obviously, you've talked to a lot of people in the week you've been here, probably nonstop. You said very favorable response here. To build a coalition of nonprofits, the people, 350.org, Albuquerque, legislators involved in this. What's the coalition? How quickly can we put this one together?
So the coalition is being developed right now.
And I think the tribes, obviously.
Big players. Everybody has to come to the table because we have to make sure that we get this constitutional
language correct. Is there one leader besides yourself here in New Mexico?
No, there has to be a coalition, a true partnership of leaders from the indigenous communities, from the environmental communities, from the
government. So if I get emails saying, who's the coalition leader, I put them in touch with you?
Absolutely. Okay. And if they go to forthegenerations.org, by within a week or two, we're going to have a New Mexico page up there on the website because there's so much activity. People will be able to learn how they can get active and involved by going to the New Mexico page on forthegenerations.org. Between now and then, they can go to that website, view webinars, read fact sheets, and learn more about the Green Amendment movement.
All right. I told Bridget I'd get you guys out of here. You guys got to be somewhere at 4 o'clock. Thank you immensely. This is really inspiring.
Great. Thank you so much for helping spread the word. And thank you to Bridget, because she's a key part of the Green Amendments for the Generations team. And Molly, who's here with me in New Mexico as well as my son, Vim.
All right. Thanks for coming out. Appreciate it. Quick timeout, 45 minutes after 3 o'clock. We'll be right back. Anything you want to talk about, we'll have 10 minutes, 424-1260, 505-424-1260.